Well, ladies, today we are closing out our study in the book of Colossians. And what we're going to do here in just a moment, I want to pray for us. But then what we're going to do is we're really just going to look at five verses in this closing chapter. So we're going to look at Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. And we're going to look at what we can learn and what we can be encouraged and challenged by. But before we do that, would you join me as we pray? So, Lord God, we thank you so much for the gift of Women's Bible Study, Lord. We thank you for the gift of every woman who's here, Lord. We thank you for the table leaders represented in this room. We thank you for those who've been serving on worship so faithfully as musicians and singers. And God, thank you even just for the chance to come and worship you and to gather with this group of women to be encouraged through your word, Lord. God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you continue to speak to us through your word. Thank you for the book of Colossians. And God, we just want to pray that your Holy Spirit would move and guide us today as we look at some of these verses in the final chapter of Colossians. Lord, would you speak? Would you move? Would you encourage? Would you challenge us? Would you convict us, Lord? Would you help us to leave more encouraged to live the life that you have called us to live, Lord, and as Christ followers, to live as people who are alive in Christ. And so we just give to you this time, and would you be glorified, Lord? So we pray this in your great name, Jesus. Amen. Well, ladies, as I mentioned, we're just going to be in five verses, so we're going to read verses 2 through 6. They'll be on the screens as well. But here's what they say. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, and this is Paul writing here, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. And so these five verses are full of some really good truths, some that are going to be reminders for us and really powerful truths for us to look at. And so what I want us to do with our time is just look at three ways that we can be encouraged and challenged by what we just read in these verses. So three different ways. So the first is this. I think these verses encourage us to be people who pray. Right? That's how this starts. Paul says, continue steadfastly in prayer. And so these verses encourage us to be people who pray. And not just people who pray once a week or even once a day, but people who pray continuously, steadfastly, persistently, and unceasingly. We can pray all the time, anytime, and everywhere. For the Christian, prayer is not a last resort, but it is really a lifestyle. Prayer is a way of living. It is a thread that is woven throughout every aspect of our lives. And the more that you and I pray, the more you will realize your deep need to pray. Paul begins the letter of Colossians and ends this letter by talking about prayer. In chapter 1, he told us how much he prays for the Colossians. And now here, at the end of his letter, he turns it back on the Colossians and he says, all right, now you guys need to pray. And he's not telling them to do anything that he doesn't do himself, because we know he's told us how much he prays. He says, you guys need to pray. You need to be devoted to prayer. Paul wrote something similar in another one of his letters when he said this in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. He said, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. For Christians, prayer is meant to be a way of life, a continual thing that we do. There is so much that could be said about prayer, but one of my favorite and most simple definitions of prayer is simply that prayer is a conversation with God. It's a conversation with our loving Father and our good friend. And here's the thing about prayer and conversations. You can pray and you can have a conversation with God anywhere and anytime. You can talk to him when you drive. You can talk to him when you're at work. You can talk to him when you're in line at the grocery store. You can talk to him when you're in a conversation with someone who's frustrating you and you need some extra grace and patience. You can talk to him when you're at home and you're about to lose your mind because you can't get your kids to clean up the house. I can't relate at all. You can talk to him when you're running late or you've misplaced something and you can't find it. You can talk to him when you are worried about someone or you're nervous about a big test or a big work project coming up. You can talk to God all the time, anytime, anywhere, trusting that God is with you and he cares about you. And so knowing that, ladies, what keeps you and I from talking to God more than we actually do? what hinders you and I from being people who pray continually? Because if we're honest, there are things that you and I know how to do really well continually. We know how to worry continually. We know how to dwell on anxious thoughts or negative thoughts continually. We know how to watch a Netflix show continually, to the point where it says, "Are you still watching?" And you're like, "Yes, I am." We know how to scroll Instagram and check our phones continually. And yet, when it comes to praying continually and without ceasing, we're just like, "Ooh, how does anyone do that? I don't know if I could do that. That seems really impossible. How would anyone do that?" If continual prayer is supposed to be a way of life for us, then what makes it so difficult? What keeps so many of us from experiencing prayer as a way of life? Maybe for you, it's busyness and hurry and too many commitments. And in order to make prayer a way of life, there are some really good things that you're going to have to say no to. And there are some hard decisions you're going to have to make in order to slow down and create more space to just talk to God and pay attention to Him. Pastor John Mark Comer says, "To walk with Jesus is to walk with a slow, unhurried pace. Hurry is the death of prayer and only impedes and spoils our work. It never advances it." Maybe your hindrance to pray is a need for control, and you're living under the lie that you are actually in control and that you don't need God. Or maybe you think you need God for certain things, but you still think you're in control of certain spheres of life. Prayer will never become a way of life for us until we recognize how much we actually need God, and until we really believe what God's word says when Jesus says, "You cannot bear fruit apart from me." Pastor Tim Keller said, "To pray is to accept that we are and always will be wholly dependent on God for everything. Not just some things, not just most things, but everything." One of the things I've been trying to do a little bit more in my own times of prayer is to create a bit more space for silence. And something I read recently in a book about silence and solitude really hit me. And here's what it said. The author, Ruth Haley Barton, said this. She said, "In silence, we not only withdraw from the demands of life in the company of others, but also allow the noise of our own thoughts, strivings, and compulsions to settle down so we can hear a truer and more reliable voice. Reliance on our own thoughts and words, even in our praying, can be one facet of a need to control things, to set the agenda, or at least to know what the agenda is, even in our relationship with God. It is in silence that we habitually release our own agendas and our need to control and become more willing and able to give ourselves to God's loving initiative. In silence, we create space for God's activity rather than filling every minute with our own." And so maybe like me, you resonate with that desire to be in control. Maybe you feel stuck when it comes to prayer because if you're honest, you just really feel like you don't know how to pray. You watch others pray, you hear other people pray, and you think, "They're so good at praying. I could never do that. That's not how I pray." And if that's you, I want to encourage you to follow the example of Jesus' disciples when one of his disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us how to pray. Ask God to teach you how to pray." And then just start praying, because a part of learning how to pray simply comes when you start praying. Dallas Willard said this. He said, "The more we pray, the more we think to pray. And as we see the results of prayer, the responses of our Father to our requests, our confidence in God's power spills over into other areas of our life." For those of us who are in Christ, prayer is meant to be a way of life, a continual lifestyle. None of us on this side of eternity will ever be able to say, "I've prayed enough. I don't need to pray more. I'm good on prayer." So no matter how much you currently pray or how little you currently pray, what would it look like to pray a little bit more and to make prayer an even more regular, ongoing, and continual part of your life? So the first thing I think we see and can be encouraged by is that we should be people who pray. And then the second thing we see is our need to be people who live and pray with thanksgiving. We need to be people who live and pray with thanksgiving. We are called as Christ followers to be with thanksgiving people. For Paul, prayer and thanksgiving are very connected. We read this in verse 2 earlier, but Paul said, "Continue steadfastly in prayer," and then he followed that up by saying, "Being watchful in it with thanksgiving. And Paul says something similar in another letter. In Philippians 4, Paul says this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." It's so easy to bring our requests to God and say, "God, I need this. I want this. I'm really struggling with this. Please do this for me." But to forget to also bring to him our thanksgiving. When I pray in the mornings, which I typically do every day, I intentionally begin my times of prayer with thanksgiving. And there are times where I want to rush past thanksgiving because I'm having a hard day or I need strength or whatever it is. But I just tell myself, you got to begin with thanksgiving. And so I make a conscious effort to start my times of prayer with gratitude. And I typically name different people and things that I'm thankful for. I often thank God just for the gift of salvation. I thank God that he has chosen me and saved me and that it's not because of my own works, but it's a gift of God. Thankfulness doesn't come naturally to us. And so it is something that we have to learn and practice and be intentional with. So how are you doing with thanksgiving? How are you doing living with a thankful heart? How well does that phrase, with thanksgiving, describe your life, your attitude, and your heart posture these days? Ladies, if we want to grow in thanksgiving, two of the things that we need to stop doing is we got to stop being people who are caught up complaining and comparing. Each of us have things in our lives, really valid things, that we could complain about if we wanted to. If I gave us all an icebreaker question right now, this is an awful icebreaker question, and I said, "Hey, turn to your neighbor and share something you have to complain about," none of us would be at a loss for things to share, right? Each of us have valid hurts, frustrations, challenges, losses, things going on in our lives. But instead of complaining, we need to choose to take those things to the Lord in prayer, tell God how we're feeling, give him our disappointment, our hurts, our losses, our frustrations, and we need to do that with thanksgiving. We also need to be people who stop comparing our lives to other people, who stop comparing our lives to the person sitting next to us, the person we see on social media, the person who tells us a story, and it seems like they've got everything that we've ever wanted, everything we've ever dreamed of, everything we've ever prayed for. We need to stop comparing ourselves to others and learn to grow in contentment for the many, many good gifts that God has given to us. Comparing your life or my life to someone who has more or bigger or better than you and I do will only make you less and less thankful for what God has already given to you. Tim Keller says this. He says, "We are never as thankful as we should be. When good things come to us, we do everything possible to tell ourselves we accomplished that, or at least we deserve it. We take the credit. And then when our lives simply are going along pretty smoothly without a lot of difficulties, we don't live in quiet, amazed, thankful consciousness of it. In the end, we not only rob God of the glory due him, but the assumption that we are keeping our lives going robs us of the joy and relief that constant gratitude to an all-powerful God brings." Do you believe that every good gift you have is only yours because of God's grace? You didn't earn it, you don't deserve it, and the only reason that you and I have breath in our lungs, or a good cup of hot coffee, or kids at home, or friends to hang out with, or a Bible study table here to do life with, or 10 or 15 bucks in your wallet, or 3 bunk cakes that you bought from the student outside, all of that is because of God's grace. It is all his grace and his loving kindness towards us. James 1:17 says, "Every good and perfect gift," not just some, "every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights who does not change like shifting shadows." We are called to be with thanksgiving people. And so if you want to grow in being a with thanksgiving person, I want to encourage you to just do 3 really simple things for the next 30 days. First, pray and ask God to make you more thankful. Say, "God, make me more thankful." Ladies, if there's an area of your life where you are wanting to grow, one of the best things you can do is to regularly pray and say, "God, would you grow me in this area?" So ask God to make you more thankful. 2, regularly remind yourself of the truth we just read in James, that every good gift you have is from God. Regularly remind yourself of that truth, that every good gift you have is from God. And then 3, make it a point every day to tell God specific things that you are thankful for. you can consider, like I shared earlier, I do that a lot throughout the day, but I do that a lot in the morning when I'm praying, and I intentionally start my times of prayer with gratitude. And here's the thing, when you pray and when you give gratitude to the Lord, if you're anything like me, you will naturally want to rush through Thanksgiving to get to the part of the prayer where you get to tell God what you need and what you want and how you're feeling. But I want to encourage you, don't rush the Thanksgiving piece. Linger in it longer than feels natural to you. Even if it takes you a while to think of some things you're thankful for, that's normal. Let yourself linger and sit in that silence and say, Lord, bring to mind some more things that I can be thankful for. Thank God for the little things and thank God for the big things. So in these verses, we can be encouraged to be people who pray. We can be encouraged to be people who live with Thanksgiving, that we would be with Thanksgiving kind of people. And then third and finally, we can be encouraged to be people who share the gospel. And we see this all throughout Paul's writings. Paul's one of my favorite guys in the New Testament, and I love his heart for the gospel. I love how he is so committed to being on mission with Jesus. And so we can be encouraged to be people who share the gospel. Paul models for us what it means to be someone who doesn't just share the gospel, but someone who wants to and desires to share the good news of Jesus. Paul, and we see it in the verses we read, Paul wants so much to be able to share the good news with people that he doesn't ask the Colossians to pray for his physical needs. He doesn't ask them. He doesn't say, hey, pray that I'll get out of jail because I'm tired of being in here. He asks them to pray for one thing. He says, please pray that God would open a door for our message so that we can proclaim the mystery of Christ. He's basically saying, pray that God would give me opportunities to share faith with people. Now, when Paul uses this terminology of an open door, it's the same word picture that is used in a couple other places in the Bible, and it's referring to an open opportunity for the gospel, an opportunity to do the work of evangelism. A couple examples of this term you'll see in Acts 14, verse 27. It says, when they arrived, they gathered the church together. They declared all that God had done with them and how he, referring to God, had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And then in 1 Corinthians 16, but I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has opened to me. God is the one who opens the door. That's God's role. That's what only God can do. But the question is for us, what will we do when God opens the door and gives us an opportunity to share the gospel? What will we do when that open door is right in front of our face? How much or how little do you and I desire those open doors and those opportunities to share faith? The truth is, ladies, most of us pray for different opportunities all throughout our lives. When we're single, we pray for dating opportunities. When we need a job, we pray for job opportunities. When we're in a job that we don't like, we pray that new career doors would open. We pray that new friendships would come our way. We pray all the time for different open opportunities. And yet, most of us pray so little, if at all, for open doors to share the gospel, the good news, the best news that we could ever possibly share with anyone. Many, many years ago, it might have even been a decade now. Some of you here, if you've been around CA long enough, you'll remember this sermon I'm about to mention. But many, many years ago, Matt Price did a sermon at Christian Assembly. He's now our evangelism pastor. And he preached a sermon about this idea of open doors. And for me, and I trust for so many others who were there, it was a life-changing sermon. Matt encouraged us as a church to pray for open doors, and to pray that God would give us opportunities to share faith with our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends, strangers. And I don't remember it all super specifically, but I remember being challenged and encouraged, and I remember walking away, and I remember praying for open doors, that God would give me open doors. And I don't remember the exact people anymore, but I remember that God showed up and answered that prayer for me, that he opened doors and that he began to bring people into my life that I then had the opportunity to walk with and share faith and the gospel with. And now, many, many, many years later, it is one of my greatest joys and delights to regularly pray in my own times with the Lord that he would give me, and I pray this for my husband, I pray this for my kids, that he would give our family opportunities to share the gospel. Pray for yourself that God would open doors around you. Pray that he would give you opportunities to share the gospel and to help the lost know Jesus. In the verses we read in Colossians, Paul invited the Colossians to pray for his work. So he said, hey, pray for open doors for me, right? Pray for my evangelistic work. But he also made it clear that they, the Colossians, had an active role to play themselves in evangelism. I want to remind us of what verses 5 and 6 say. They say, Paul says to the Colossians, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Paul is giving the Colossians instructions for how they should engage with outsiders. And that term outsiders is referring to people who are in the surrounding community but do not yet believe in Jesus. Paul says that as Christians, we need to live and act wisely towards people who don't yet know Christ. The way we act, the way we speak, the way we live around people who don't know Jesus matters. We also need to remember that our lives are short. Paul says, make the best use of the time, right? Our lives are short, and we have to use the time that we have here wisely. And so as Christ followers, we should have a healthy urgency when we think about evangelism. And we should have a healthy urgency that comes from knowing that each person that God has created has a short time on this earth. And none of us know how long our lives are. Only God knows our days. But each person only has this one life to live and to decide whether or not they will follow Jesus. And so there's this really short season on this earth that people get to say yes to Jesus. But what they decide in that really short season impacts their eternity forever. So we should have a healthy urgency when it comes to sharing the gospel. Our speech should be gracious. We need to share the truth of who Jesus is with unbelievers with grace, with kindness, with gentleness, with humility, with love. We need to speak grace and truth together. Our speech when we are in conversation with someone needs to be gracious. Our speech when we are on social media needs to be gracious. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Ladies, may we be encouraged to be people who pray for open doors, and that when God brings opportunities our way, may we boldly and with faith engage in those conversations with wisdom and with grace, trusting that we're not alone. God is with us. As Christ followers, his Holy Spirit dwells in us. It is only God who can change someone's heart. It's only God who can do a work in someone of salvation. But we're his vessel. He doesn't have a plan B. We are God's plan A to reach the lost with the good news of Jesus. And so as we close, and we're closing a little earlier tonight, as we close our study in Colossians, would you and I be encouraged to go and be people who pray, people who live with thanksgiving, that we would be with thanksgiving kind of people, and that we would be people who share the gospel and who pray regularly for open doors. And so in closing, I want to give us a few minutes to just pray and to say, Lord, what are you asking of us? What are you inviting us to? And so I want to give us a few different ways that we can respond. And so you can bow your heads, you can close your eyes, you can take whatever posture is comfortable to you. But Lord, we want to invite you, Lord, to move and to have your way in each of the lives of the women represented here and those online and in satellite groups, God. Lord, would you speak? Would you encourage us? Would you challenge us? Would you grow us in the ways that you want to, Lord? And so first, when it comes to being people who pray, just talk to the Lord about how you're doing with that. Talk to the Lord about what your prayer life looks like or what it doesn't look like. Ask God to grow you in your prayer life and to teach you how to pray. And then when it comes to Thanksgiving, how are you doing with being a person who lives and prays with Thanksgiving? I want to encourage you to talk to the Lord about that, ask Him to speak to you. And I also want to encourage you to just take a moment and just begin to thank God for different things and people in your lives. And then when it comes to sharing the gospel, just take a moment and if you're a Christian, talk to the Lord about where you're at with sharing the gospel, how you're feeling. If you are feeling like you don't know what to say or you're feeling scared or, God, could you really use me? Give those things to the Lord. Pray about those things. For anyone here who would say, you know, whether I've shared the gospel a million times or zero times, I want to share the gospel if that's what God wants from me. And so I encourage you to just pray between you and the Lord. Just say, God, would you give me open doors? Would you give me opportunities to share the gospel? Would you prepare me for those open doors, Lord? Make those open doors so clear to me that I can't not walk through them and take that opportunity as it comes my way. And then finally, for anyone here who is not yet a Christ follower, we want you to hear the good news, which maybe you're hearing for the first time, maybe you're hearing for the 15th time, but we want you to clearly hear the good news of what Jesus has done for us. We want to give you a chance to respond and to be made right with God. And so according to God's word, the good news, the gospel, what it tells us is that God created us on purpose and for a purpose. He loves us. He created you and I in His image. He has purpose for you. But the Bible also tells us that we've all sinned. Each and every one of us has sinned. We've missed the mark of God's glorious standards. None of us have lived without making mistakes. We've all done things that have dishonored others and dishonored God. And the penalty for our sin is death. What we actually deserve for our sin is death. But God, because He is so rich in love and mercy and grace, God sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty for our sins so that we don't have to. And Jesus came to this earth. He walked this earth as an obedient and perfect man. And He was and is God. And He took our sin upon Himself. And He bore our sins on the cross. And He died on the cross for our sins. He rose 3 days later. And everyone who places their faith and trust in Jesus will be made right with God. You'll be in a right relationship with God the Father. You'll be forgiven for your sins. And you will be given new life that is only made possible because of God's work in your life. You will also be gifted eternal life with Christ Jesus. And so if you're here and you have never said yes to that, I don't know what's holding you back. I encourage you to pray and talk to the Lord about any obstacles that would stand in your way, any fears that would stand in your way of saying yes to the invitation to be made right with God. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to have it all figured out. But if you can honestly say, God, I'm tired of doing this life on my own. I want to be made right with you. I want to have eternity with you. I want to follow you and live for you. Then I want to just encourage you to pray this prayer. And you could just say between you and the Lord, you can just say, God, I confess that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. God, would you forgive me for my sins and for my mistakes? I'm so sorry for the ways that I've sinned against you and others. God, I am placing my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I believe that Jesus died for me, that He took my sins to the cross, that He rose again, and I am committing my life to Jesus as my Lord and Savior. God, I want to follow you all the days of my life. And if you prayed that prayer, we welcome you into the family of God. We celebrate your new life with Christ. We want to walk with you and be with you in that journey. There is so much rejoicing in heaven when one sinner repents and gives their life to Christ. So we rejoice with you. And so, God, we thank you for anyone in this room who has said yes to you and made a first-time decision to follow you. God, for anyone in this room who's still not sure and who's still wondering, God, I pray that you would reveal yourself to them in a way that they cannot deny that it is you and that they will come to know you as their Lord and Savior. God, give each of us open doors and opportunities to share the gospel with others. Make us people who pray. Make us people who live with thanksgiving. Make us people who share the gospel and who desire to share the gospel, Lord. So God, we love you and we pray all this in your great name, Jesus. Amen.